Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Hi, Ray.
Hello, Amy.
Are we ready for another round?
We are indeed ready for another round of lovely recorded things.
Yes.
I was a good girl and I did a book, and you've been to the movies.
I have twice, in fact.
My goodness me.
Yeah, I thought this month I'd do something a little bit different.
Are these movies that are easily available for people to get on streaming services or
One of them definitely will be. The other I'm not sure. I'm sure it will be available somewhere.
Yeah, bound to be.
So this month I reviewed a couple of films that I saw last month at the Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival, or the RADIF.
Yes.
I saw The Time Traveller's Guide to the Hamilton Gardens.
Oh, yes.
And At the Garden's Pace. Now, I, for those listening who don't know what the Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival is, this started as like a little boutique festival in 2012, up in Auckland, and it's kind of growing into a nationwide event, and this year's the 15th year. So it's got some legs now, and it incorporates films both from, like, locally if they can get some, but also globally, and their films around, as the name suggests, architecture and art and design. And often there's one or two garden-related films each year, so I try and go and see those. Like, when I saw, a couple of years ago, I saw the Five Seasons, The Gardens of Piet Oudolf, which was gorgeous. That was a gorgeous documentary. Loved that. But the two I saw this year, very, very different films, and I thought I'd talk about them because I don't know how other people feel about watching gardening documentaries, but I enjoy them.
Well, a lot of people maybe just glance over and it doesn't make, oh, Resene's paints. Now why we paint gardens?
Yeah, and because it's the Architecture and Design Film Festival, it may not seem as an intuitive place to look for garden-related things. But this year there were two that were very definitely in that space. I'm going to start with the At the Garden's Pace film. This is, like I said, they're very, very different. At the Garden's Pace is essentially an observational documentary. So it's not, there's not a lot of dialogue in it. There's not a lot of exposition. So you don't necessarily have a lot of narration telling you what's going on. It's a very pretty film, is a good way to describe it. It's very meditative. And it's filmed over four seasons and 15 site visits. And it follows the construction of a garden pavilion at the Pinetum Blydenstein in Hilversum, Netherlands. Now, the Pinetum Blydenstein is a conifer-specific botanical garden. It's got, like, nearly 400 different conifer varieties. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning. And in the middle of it, they had a new, well, they had a pavilion, basically, that they had to tear down because it was just getting too old and wrecked. And they had an open competition in 2018 inviting architects from around the world to design a new pavilion that could be used for, like, concerts, weddings, theatre, chess competitions. And there were around 135 entries, and the winning project was awarded to a Rotterdam architect called Enzo Valerio for his, he titled it Grond, or Ground. And the documentary covers the construction of this, and which doesn't at first glance sound like it's a garden-related thing, but the way the film ties together the construction with the scenery and the movement in the garden over those four seasons, it's beautiful. So it blurs those designs, blurs those boundaries between design and the reality. And the architects are the one who ends, architects are the ones who end up doing the building as well. Right. So they swap their, like, architects' outfits for overalls and construction boots and spend a lot of time in the rain. And it is. It's really, really pretty. And it's got sounds of nature throughout, birds chirping, trees swaying, the rain coming down. And like I said, it's got minimal dialogue, but there is a little bit, and it's used very effectively to add some sense of the people who are involved, because it's all about, like, there's one of the workers gets a tear in his he gets a hole in one of his boots and he's trying to do concrete pouring, so he's having to put his foot in a plastic bag to prevent it getting covered in cement. And there's one of the other ones, Tim, who meticulously hand grinds his coffee beans, and there's a joke about one of the other guys decides he's going to attach his drill to it to turn it faster and he breaks it. So it's there's not a lot of dialogue. You actually don't even hear about the competition side of things until almost the end of the film, because... And it just happens as part of they're doing a toast to getting the roof finished, for instance, and they're just celebrating it. And that's how you know, if you didn't know anything about the film, that's how you know it was a competition that came to be.
And is it subtitled or in English?
It's interesting. It's a mixture because they speak a mixture of languages throughout. So some of it's subtitled, some of it's they're speaking English, so you can pick up on it. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly about the visuals. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really lovely... and I would say it is a very garden film in that it gives you the feel of being a garden. You know, when you walk into gardens and you just breathe a nice sigh of...
And they encompass you.
And that's what the film feels like to me. So if that's your kind of thing, at the garden's pace, I think it was maybe an hour and 10 minutes. It was not a long film.
No.
But it was beautifully done. So...
Oh, well, that's been an interesting thing.
Yeah. And then the other one that I saw was The Time Traveller's Guide to Hamilton Gardens. So Gardens up north.
Yes.
And if you haven't been to them, you should.
I know. It's on my bucket list.
Yes. If you have the opportunity to visit the Hamilton Gardens, please do so. They're incredible. For those who don't know already, I'm part of a medieval group and we ran an event in the gardens a few years ago now. And the photos we got in the Tudor garden there were incredible. Like, it was perfect. The backdrop was perfect. Back to the film, though. So this is a documentary that tells you how the mastermind designer, Dr. Peter Sergal, has taken the gardens from rubbish dump on the edge of the city to a world-renowned garden. I think that's what people in New Zealand don't often realise, is just how world-renowned the Hamilton Gardens are.
It is half famous. That's exactly right. And they're rooms, aren't they? Or large
Yes, essentially rooms. They're rooms. Yes. So rather than designing botanic gardens like you traditionally think of, what Peter's designed is, he calls it a museum of humanity that moves you through essentially 4,000 years of gardens and human history. Each garden within there represents a different culture, time, way of thinking. So it's got, you know, the Italian Renaissance, ancient Egyptian, Japanese garden, just to name a few. And you move through these spaces in a very deliberate way, and it's all the thought that's gone into it. And it's such a mind-bogglingly huge project.
Well, it's continuing too.
Oh, yeah, they haven't finished, is it? No, they've still got... They've got a Baroque garden that they haven't finished yet. I think the medieval garden's going to open a little bit later this year. There's lots of plans.
And do you go in and follow a path, or do you just wander it?
You can roughly follow a path.
Yeah.
There's a meeting point where you can kind of just go into at your will.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily go from like one point in history to chronologically.
No.
It's not really chronological, but it's you can just go to the ones you want to go to.
Yes, because it must be big enough now that you need a couple of days to really understand it.
I feel like you do, yes.
Yeah.
But essentially the documentary goes through the vision of the gardens being created, how the wider community's gotten involved, you know, how it's developed over time, where it's going next. And it's really, it's a very wholesome New Zealand project, basically. And it makes you want to go visit the gardens. I came out of it going, I want to go to these gardens again now. It is a very, very feel-good film about, you know, New Zealand is building something incredible.
Yes, well, it sounds like it. It's only talking about Hamilton. It's not on the way to anywhere.
No, sadly. But it's not too long of a drive down from Auckland.
No, you can go to Auckland and then go down for the day, probably.
Yep, exactly.
But you need a couple of days, I guess, to really enjoy
it. To really appreciate it, I think you do, yes.
Yeah. And good heavens, you know, when once upon a time we used to think that that Hamilton was just that little village down the road. But now it's a bustling city with very good foodie scene and everything, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, a good example actually is one of the incredible things they're doing in the gardens is the Māori garden. They've worked with the local iwi and they've planted, I should have made a note, but it's 100 and something varieties of kumara, some of which you cannot find anywhere else. And they grow this to maintain the seed bank, yes, basically, yes, of it, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And they're in these little mounds,
yeah,
throughout the whole thing, deliberately arranged, so each of them gets enough sun. And they do. They give some back to the iwi, but they also then, some of the food that's produced goes to, like, food bank.
Yes.
Like, which is lovely.
Mm.
So it's really well thought out. Really, really well thought out.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic.
So,
yeah,
yes. Thoroughly recommend. I suspect this one will be much more readily available to watch than the At the Garden's Pace film, because, yep, being New Zealand, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up on TVNZ On Demand.
Yep.
Certainly easy enough to see. I thoroughly recommend watching both of these films if you get a chance.
If you see them, yeah, advertised, now that you know that they exist.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And maybe next year keep an eye out for the Radif Festival details and see if there are any other gardening films that you might like to watch.
It's because there's hundreds of beautiful gardens around the world.
Oh, there are. And yes, some of the work that comes into, like, view through these festivals is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh,
well,
yes, well, my book tends New Zealand, to sort of be a little bit sort of in line, maybe, with that. It's called Aotearoa in Bloom.
Yes.
And it was produced in New Zealand, and it is, I don't know.
It's a stunning book.
How do you do justice to a book like this? It's written by a couple of ladies who are very close friends, Rachel Clare and Tryphena Cracknell. And its subtitle is The History, Culture and Practical Uses of New Zealand Flowers. Mm-hmm. Now, there's lots and lots of books written about plants in general.
Yes.
This is only flowers. So it's pretty amazing. And the dedication, it's for our mums, and I think that's probably their author's mums, but it will be our mums too.
In general, yeah.
Who nurtured us with good books and flowers.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's probably true. I know your mum, I'm sure you had plenty of good books and flowers.
Yes, absolutely.
And my mum made sure I had plenty of good books to read. And our garden was always full of flowers at home as well.
100%.
So I guess you can understand that. Right. Right, there is a preface, which is not often something you get, but this one is a really lovely preface because it tells the story of the two authors, how they met when they were at primary school and used to have little tea parties, and they always had teacups with flowers on them. They always went out and picked flowers for their. So it's been in their DNA forever. That Rachel Clare is a garden writer, absolutely obsessed with flowers and gardening. And Tryphena Cracknell is a passionate gardener. She's also a foodie. And she also does quite a lot with artistic weaving and Māori.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And among other things, she writes a regular column on native plants in Kiwi Gardener.
Ah.
So that both of them have got enormous backgrounds in doing this. And apart from a preface, there's also a very, very intense introduction, which is quite necessary for the level of work within each of the chapters later on.
Okay.
It's a really in-depth look across everything connected to New Zealand flowers, from the pollination needs, because our flowers in New Zealand have quite different pollination things from people who have big, gaudy flowers, hibiscus and
when you think of New Zealand flowers, you don't tend to think of big, showy blooms.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, our pollinators tend to be, apart from the birds, so our showy flowers tend to be in trees.
Yes.
Our ground flowers tend to be quite pale, green, white.
Yes.
Because the pollinators for those plants are insects, and insects go by smell as opposed to by colour.
Yeah.
So that was, I found that quite interesting, that little bit. it's also about how Māori and European early connections with flowers came upon it. You know, the good old poms, not only them, Europeans came and gave their names to plants.
Yes.
And, of course, the Māori already had their names for plants.
Yes.
So, and we grew up learning the European names. We did anyway, didn't we? So there was a naming of the plants as a guide to understanding how the plants discussed in the book are made. And that's talking about, you know, the cultivars and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, I was pleased to read a definition of the difference between native and endemic.
Yes, so we were talking about this.
Yes,
and I learned something too.
We both had it around the wrong way, didn't
we? Yeah, we did.
So just for everyone's reference, a native plant is one that has evolved naturally in a specific place as opposed to having been introduced by humans.
And native, it's okay that it's been introduced by, like, birds
or the wind.
That's right.
Native plants form their own ecosystems and some have found their way here by wind or from, say, seabirds.
Yeah.
Yeah. If a plant is endemic, then it's a native that is only found growing in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Yes, because we were talking about the fact that there are native plants in New Zealand that are also growing natively.
In New Caledonia and in some parts of Australia.
Yes.
So maybe they were wind and seaborne and things like that. Yeah. So about 80% of all our plants in New Zealand are endemic.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. So it pays to actually notice them, I think. You know?
They're very different to a lot of the rest of the world's flora.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, until I picked this book up, I knew there was a vast number of plants out there. And, you know, I knew that.
You knew.
But I didn't know what they were.
But you did not know. Like, no, you knew, but you didn't necessarily appreciate the scale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Until I saw this book and I thought, wow, you know. In fact, when my husband saw it, he thought, I had to bloom. All those Western flowers. I said, no, dear. This book is our book for our plants. So, okay. The book's set out in parts, and with each part, there's a collection of plants typical of the region.
Mm-hmm.
And the region being a climatic reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Each plant has an introduction, some special feature. Some might be a recipe, it might be a special medical thing, or it might be just a funny story.
Yep.
But just something special about them. A piece about how you could adapt this into your garden,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's the right one for your garden, indeed. It's your climate, are your soils.
Yes.
But just a nice little piece that tells you whether it's a good idea to plant it or not.
Yeah.
And then there is another section on what's in the name, and that will tell you where the European name come from, where the Maori name come from.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice if you are interested in that. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part one is called Mountain Bloomers.
Mm. So, like our alpine?
Alpine flowers.
Yeah. And we have some incredible alpine.
And we actually, we do. World famous alpines. And in the mountain daisy, of course, is one that everyone knows. And the facing plate to it that introduces that section is a beautiful picture of mountain daisies up on Motruapehu. And it's just like a drift of snow. It is really, really lovely. The photography in the book is gorgeous.
Yes.
Really gorgeous. Part two is bush bells, and that's flowers from the Ngāhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, of course, the one we all know is clematis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have two New Zealand ones that are evergreen.
Oh.
So you don't ever have to have that
bare
white twiggy stuff on there.
And a lot of New Zealand plants are evergreen.
Of course they are,
yes.
So I've got the paniculata,
mm-hmm.
but I want to get the other one that looks like tiny little stars. I think it's called Forus Forsterini or something like mm-hmm. that. So I think that I'll probably, once again, be popping out to
Trees for Canterbury
and see Laura. Part three is sun worshippers, scrubland and rock dwellers,
mm-hmm.
and that's where that gorgeous kākāpiki comes in.
Yes.
It comes, as you said before, comes in red, white and pink.
Red, white and pink.
And quite difficult, but once you've got it growing.
Yeah, once you've got it growing, like my parents have several well-established plants now, and they quite happily self-seed now.
Yes.
Now that they've kind of figured out where they want to grow.
But they've got their own ecosystem, haven't they?
Yeah. Very happy. But trying to start them from scratch yourself can be very challenging.
Very, very difficult. That's right. Yeah. Then there's waterside charmers, rivers, streams and swamp flowers. And that's one where the fuchsias or fuchsias
come
from the biggest of the trees right down to our lovely little tiny...
The gorgeous little one.
Then unless you've actually got to make the fine glass and have a look at the flower, you think it's just a blob, but it's actually spectacular. Beach bells, coastal beauties. I didn't know ice plants were endemic to New Zealand.
Oh, well, there you go. No, I didn't know that either.
I guess it's that whitey one, not the scarlet ones and things that you see growing along sand dunes and everything. So I guess it's, so it's good to know. Then there's widespread wonders from the Maunga to the shoreline, which are like the orchids. The ones that grow up in the trees, along the branches, and then the little ones in the ground and all those little ones like that. So it covers a lot of flowers.
Well, looking at the size of the book, I mean, there's a lot of room there to cover.
That's right. And then there's some, a whole section on propagation tips to help you grow them yourself. They also have a section on right plant, right place.
Yep.
Which would help us all not break our hearts when we lose our kakabig.
Yes.
Because we know that we maybe haven't got in the right place. and there's a final note about the orphans, a bit more in depth, so you know that they actually know what they're talking about. If you're a hiker, walker, tramper, whatever you call yourself, it'll be far too big to carry with you. It is a hefty tome, but it's worthwhile having to refer back to if you take a photo of something you see.
Or even do a bit of homework before you go.
And you'll learn heaps about our own flora.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I got this book from Joe at Paper Tree at our Junction. It's $58.99, but I'm also sure it's available from a library because it's a very recent
publication. It is very recent. And it's a lovely hardback as well. It's a good price for that.
Oh, it is. And also, it's full of beautiful, a lot of the, there's photos, but there's a lot of beautiful watercolours.
Yes, botanical, like, illustrations.
Botanical ones from people.
But also some of, like, you said there was some Stoddart artwork in there as well.
Yeah, Margaret Stoddart. There's a beautiful picture of some things. Oh, look at that for a kakavik.
I know.
But yes, there are just gorgeous pictures in here. So it's, apart from being a really nice book to have if you're interested in interesting things about where you're going around.
Yes.
I mean, all the little dianellas and things in the road, they all have tiny little flowers and we never know what they are.
I know.
So I think it's it depends how curious you are.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And so, it's a gorgeous book.
It is gorgeous, yes. Yeah.
One to add to my list, I think.
I know. I'm afraid I probably might not be going back to Joe. Yes.
Here's you saying you're going to downsize your bookcases and then you keep ending up with
more. You find something like this, which is just so absolutely gorgeous, that you think, well, you know, it's a must-have.
It is. Yes, there we go. Must-have.
So anyway, what's going on at the Horti now? Yeah.
Well, there's a really good garden life session coming up in July, Tuesday the 7th at 6 p.m. and Wednesday the 8th at 1 p.m. We've got our main speaker is John Clemens talking about travels in Mediterranean Empire. Their plants, our gardens. So that comes into that history of gardening again.
Yes, again, yes.
Which would be great. And our mini speaker is Brianna Hill from the Christchurch Botanic Gardens. She's part of the indoor plant team. And so she's going to be talking about indoor plants and the conservatories, which fascinate me. I love those conservatories. Oh,
they do so much gorgeous display in the town end house.
I know, don't they just?
As the seasons go by, they are just
stunning.
Yep.
So, yeah, so don't forget to come along to that. It'll be a really good session in July.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Bot Tots.
Yep.
Must be just about break, but they're still running Mondays 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m.
Right. Just need to keep an eye on the school calendar.
Yes, keep an eye on the school calendar.
So, you know, don't turn up there if it's the school holidays because everybody has a holiday in school holidays.
And, of course, this week, if you're listening to us when this goes to air, you'll be able to attend the All About Flowers session on Thursday.
That's right.
Thursday morning, 10:30 day.
Well, they really need this book, don't they?
They do, Aotearoa
and Bloom. They should be studying
that book. There you go, Debs, if you're listening.
Yes.
So that's the All About Flowers, the relaxed welcoming group for anyone who loves flowers. Come along and celebrate all things floral.
Now, they do learn to make posies, they learn to do flower arranging. As
edible,
well
flowers,
as
edible flowers, flower printing,
that's right.
all kinds of stuff.
All sorts of things, art as well as...
Speaking of art,
botanical embroidery.
Mm. Yes. We talked about this last time. Zoe Thorpe is a textile artist. She does amazing like botanical inspired, floral inspired yes. embroidery. And this is a workshop to take you through.
And she makes it into all sorts of things.
She does,
she?
Yeah. Bags, glasses cases, little purses.
Yes, all sorts of beautiful things. Yeah. Yes. And as you said, she'll be at Pioneer Stadium, won't she?
For the Craftsman Market at the end of June, market. Yes. Yeah. So that's Monday, 29th of June, 6 till 9pm. And that'll get you started, if not finished, on a piece of embroidery. And then there's lots more.
Natural dyes?
Yes, 18th of July, natural dye workshop. Bud Vaz workshop coming up on the 2nd of August. Bonsai workshop again, 9th of August.
And there's botanical watercolours with Kate Duncan.
Yes, now that one often sells out. So yep. if you're something you're interested in, don't hesitate to get in quick.
Sunny Perennial Borders.
That's Elizabeth Wilkes is going to be doing the Sunny Perennial Borders again. That was a hit last time. Nice. And botanical platters,
yeah.
23rd of August.
And these are all things to think about.
Yes.
And get in if you're really keen to go.
Yeah.
Get stuck in and do your sort of booking.
Yes, yeah. exactly. And yeah. lots more online, so check out our website. But that's a wrap yes. for us this week. Make sure you join us again on Monday the 6th of July, where we're going to be talking to our next guest, who hopefully will be Michael Brown,
yes.
talking about roses. Both rose care, but also the big show coming up later in the year.
That's the year, and what to do with your roses that are in full bloom still.
But that's a wrap from us for this fortnight.
Yes.
We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Until then, happy gardening.
And keep warm.
Thanks for joining us for our Green Thumbs book reviews today.
All books reviewed on this show are available at Paper Tree, Tower Junction, your local library, or at other good Canterbury booksellers.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticultural Society and check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes at plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Happy reading!